days in those matters. Do we have any feedback on it for us? This department, is there any question we have?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the fact is currently is that the Department of Public Service and Administration is amending its regulations to make provision for a differentiated categories of misconduct.
Yes.
Where they are starting to not put categories of serious misconduct and so on and so forth. The proposed amendment is actually in sync with the proposal that is considered by the Department of Public Safety and Administration. So there is an amendment with the proposed amendment.
You are suggesting that we agree with your proposal that there may not be any required provision for federal mandates.
Yes, sir.
Look, my sense in discussing this issue around is that one of the proposals was that no such persons must not be reemployed at all. Okay? From the DA suggests that people should not be reemployed at all. You're suggesting 5 years. Let's hear a comment on this. Honorable Kalyan.
Thank you.
Essentially, this is a striking and communicating a message that this stuff is unacceptable. You can't go there. And that it must be forced so that this is never accepted. In fact, it still actually leaves the option. This is not like an instruction to anybody to employ anybody who has been in this situation. It is still in the hands of those in the public sector, or especially to make that call, to make that decision whether they in fact do employ that person if that person has such a record. Honorable Machoba and his traditional leader from MPSO, who Manda Mandela, Honorable Mandela.
Thanks, sir. The position is not that it must be 10 years. This must be the minimum amount of money that is the 10 years. So maybe the
Johnson, I have a difficulty in this chair to allow you to speak on this matter. You are said to have an unfair advantage. You and Johan Mettler from SAGA, that all other stakeholders were given an opportunity to present, and they are now listening and or watching us from wherever they are located, and that you have been given an unfair advantage. And so I will be members feel that they must now be given an opportunity to process your recommendations and so on. So we would like to do that, if you don't mind. With respect. Okay. Honourable Madela? Oh, you, okay, okay, okay. We've had that view. Honourable James? James, send me your cinema again.
Lorimer,
yeah, okay.
Please,
okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, of course, man. You must come with your traditional president, man.
I will struggle with that one. I'm still inclined to say we send a much stronger message if we said not at all, but if the feeling of the committee is that to go with 10 years, then I will compromise with 10 years.
Qualified by both Honorable Machoba and Madam. Okay. All right. Okay, so the committee feels that this should be minimum 10 years. That the message we send you that this is a particularly serious offense. Okay. Thanks. On page 3, we proceed to the next one. Page 4, there was no indication as a problem. Is there any that I missed? Please remind me. None. Page 10. No. I'm saying page 5 and yeah, it's still part of post 10. Yeah, these are the bargaining council agreement. The department and the proposal you want to talk another object about the final proposal?
Chairperson, I think Mohammed will lead us on this particular issue.
Okay.
Thank you, Kate. Just to recall, under your authority, we were asked to go back and have discussions in this regard because there was some difference of opinion on a proposal that came from the department.
Yes.
Just to recap and to contextualize that here, the CELCA felt at the time that it would be an encroachment constitutionally on the autonomy of local government. If the proposal of the department were to be accepted, in particular, if the minister ought to have been consulted after negotiations had been done, but before an agreement was entered. It is on that basis that we then held discussions with the legal team and the technical side of CELCA. The proposal that we have put in, we circulated that document. I will speak to it with your permission, Chairperson. And just to contextualize it, we do have that report. We have circulated it, and I just want to check if everybody has it. Oh, okay, sorry, my apologies. Consequences of what those agreements would be. So if the main wage agreements are way beyond the ability of government to sustain that, or, for example, municipalities themselves. That was the concern, and that's what informed the proposal. On the other hand, were two concerns from CELGA. One is that we are giving the minister too much power, national government too much power, and secondly, we are infringing on the autonomy of municipalities. If you see 71.1, Chairperson, the wording is exactly the same as the original. When we look at the introduction to the clause itself, organized local government must, before embarking on any negotiations with parties in the bargaining council established for municipalities, with regard to wages and macro benefits, we introduced wages and macro benefits as a new term because the negotiations are very wide. The concern of the ministry and the national government itself was pertaining largely to the macroeconomic impact and wages, so that was limited to only look at that, because negotiations take place on a wide range of issues, disciplinary hearings, and that wasn't the purpose of bringing this clause in the first place. An innovation in this one is the introduction of the role of the Financial and Fiscal Commission. Section 220 of the Constitution has a specific terms of reference for the FSC, and one of them is to see whether municipalities are able to deliver on their services. And if the nature of the negotiations has an impact and impedes the ability of a municipality to deliver on its services, the argument is that then there's a responsibility for the FSC to check and just to double check this. This does not impinge on the authority or the autonomy of municipality of CELGA or organized local government, because this is done before they go through the negotiations. The second, obviously, and I don't need to strike a dead horse, the minister is only interested in that regard as well. The introduction of subsection 2, we had a discussion with CELGA in this regard, and we both agreed that insofar as it's purely legal implications, there aren't any legal implications for the clause being included. But what it does do is it does create a guiding light, a bearing and a beacon for the negotiators to be mindful all the time of what they are negotiating, what is at stake, and what its consequences would be. So it is hoped to create some kind of the word circumscribed is incorrect, because that would be infringing on local government, but to create some kind of bearing to say that when you do go and negotiate, please understand that you've got to be mindful of the budgets, you've got to be mindful of the fiscal capacity, and might I add, Chairperson, these words are directly extrapolated from the Constitution itself. I think it's section 214, sorry. So it's exactly, it's verbatim. Those are the introductions. We've given the rationale, Chairperson. We've had discussions to the extent that legally there is agreement between CELGA and us that there isn't a legal impingement on the autonomy of local government. Politically, that's a different issue here. But legally, that is what the agreement we have. We leave that on your table.
Could you comment,
ma'am?
Clause 2, I don't really have a problem with. I'm just going to get an explanation in clause 1 of the word consult. Does that not imply that they can't decide without the agreement of the FSC, the minister, and other parties?
I can answer this one directly. Does not mean that. Consult means fintech. Let me see how I was going to react to this. Any other comments, members? Okay. In my opinion, you are making ordinarily when CELGA enters into a negotiation, since it represents the voice of municipalities, ADI holding say that I would like to be a devil side. He concluded at the end of the meeting that in fact I was the devil. I wasn't the advocate. I'm doing it again at the risk of the same. That we can actually go into a negotiations and do what we wanted to do and tell you that we have consulted, we have considered all these things and show you that we've done so. So consult means it does not tie the hands of municipalities. I think it just means that you're a reasonable person looking at your decision, not to them. There's a language they use as well. In consultation or after consultation. And those two little words are not even there. It is plain English. Consult.
So if your peers are unfounded, speak again.
From my reading on the clause. Yeah. Any other comments, members? Yes, John.
Procedurally, you ruled earlier on in terms of considering the amendments.
Yeah.
I don't know at this point in time whether the new amendments, the earlier amendment were consultants, and the new amendments proposed.
you've looked at those proposals that they are so that you clarify the question you're asking. Because you shouldn't be asking that question you're asking if what is presented to us by agreement. So let's do that.
Thank you, Chair, and all members. The original amendment referred to organized local government much before embarking on any negotiations with parties in the bargaining council established for municipalities, comma, consult the minister. Now, in terms of
any other parties has been described. Well, you said original, and the original includes the phrase of the government. The best, the very best part. You see, the problem is which version you are looking at.
Yeah.
You agree with me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, in terms of Salga's mandating framework, we have 6 weeks turnaround between a matter that is presented to us to comment on, consult with all 283 municipalities. Our view is that what we originally agreed to should be considered by the portfolio committee. Alternatively, provide us with that 6 weeks mandatory framework as per SALGA's policies to consult further with municipalities on what has been amplified to relate to with regard to wages and maximum benefits. If you can recall that during the last negotiations there were certain bans effective in terms of final agreement, which necessitated SALGA to bring together, especially in the major cities in our country, as well as certain specific municipalities, where and to probe to what extent the proposals on the table will affect financially those municipalities. The framework for the first time directed, although it has been practiced, that the Finance and Fiscal Commission during the bargaining council, budget forum, is taken into account when municipalities during November and December compile their budgets for the ensuing year. Other matters are related to especially future medical expenses, accrued leave, is contained in this particular macro benefits that is not defined here but broadly described. We do believe that we must talk to our members as far as what the current processes will be. Does it require an actuarial report before considering taking it to the bargaining chamber? To what extent will that relationship in terms of consulting with the minister will entail? And I do believe that currently we're looking at the other matters, budget of municipalities, 3% growth for district municipalities in the current Division of Revenue Act, and they don't have any other income. That's the growth of district municipalities, which means somebody at National Treasury already decided that we'll spend district municipalities. I do think that we take into account the state of relations, the state of the problems in doing, but the time frames within which these things need to take place with the draft consultation is something that we need to look at in with our 283 municipalities. I'm a little bit hesitant at this point in time. Also, right before elections, that on such a serious matter, I have to come to Parliament on behalf of SALGA, and I think that our appeal to members, Chair of SALGA and members, that we be allowed to discuss this matter with our members.
Honourable Johnson, let's say we this is consult the with regard to wages and macro benefits. In other words,
stone in the shoe is the wages and recruitment of the debt for holding the site.
No,
I don't think
that's your assumption. No, come on, that's your assumption. That's the check.
I'm just saying. But the proposal I'm making is that I don't think it is going to be an earthquake of any seismic proportion if we remove wages and natural benefits.
Mm.
If that is going to make it easier for my honorable colleague to communicate into the municipality.
Yeah. No, let me explain what my concern is. Honorable Johnson and Metla, we have to process this piece. Consultation, this initially the consultation wasn't specific. Saga asked, what are you going to be wanting to negotiate? What do you want to be consulted for? So the answer was on not on everything, because there's a lot of stuff that's negotiated. It is on matters that relate to wages and macro benefits because of their economic effect on the fiscus general. Okay? So, and this is consultation. The question about what they will gain is you who must decide that. It's not being defined unilaterally by anybody. So, okay, there are two things that I suggest we handle this thing. One is that if the FFC is makes recommendations, none of the recommendations are necessarily binding, but they are made, and whoever these recommendations are made to have the can accept them or reject them on whatever grounds they see. So this introduction, in your opinion, what are you saying? Why do you even think about whether it will necessitate actuarial report to show the minister that you consulted them, or you consider this macro wages and stuff like that? Why does that arise? And are you suggesting that we stay with the that this introduced elements here, from A, 71A to C, and therefore be left with the rest, so to speak, or the original as you went out in your
As the original.
So you didn't agree with the department?
No, what we said, we already take those matters into account when we enter into negotiations.
So what
we participate in budget forums.
So what
we have a member from Saudi in the FFC.
Yeah.
We have the national economic policies that municipalities need to consider.
Yes.
Whenever we, this is just putting it in words what is already being done.
Making it explicit in the legislation.
Yes.
So what's your objection?
When we talk about wages and macro benefits, those specific areas do have a negative impact currently on municipalities, which we do not know what exactly that is insofar as future medical benefits, accrued leave,
in substance, it makes no difference. It makes no difference if you put it quickly.
So whether it's there or not. So if it is, if it makes the parties happy, let me conclude it, we can conclude it. I'm saying that let's proceed on that basis, and then have the members agree, it fulfills their requirement. Then the rest remains. We don't have to tie ourselves into knots with those two ways. It was our attempt, as I understand, to be specific, and not include everything on the list for negotiation. What's precluded here is not on for negotiation. In other words, the department can't go and ask ALGA to report on their negotiations about labor relations. I mean, other issues that affect the human resource issues. There are certain issues that they often go to bargaining in the council, and they all have to consult the minister about. And the minister, too, would not be interested in this. The department's main concern was on the remuneration packages and stuff like that. And this concern, in my opinion, introduces. Can we proceed on the understanding that that is so, that we exclude those words, what people have it, and then we proceed? It's not a matter of principle.
It's all the same.
Okay, I'm good.
be clear to everybody.
Yeah.
If there is a stakeholder who feels that there is therefore no money, it's fine.
Yeah.
We do have our money. All of us.
Yeah. Now let me communicate further this. Honorable Tumu, when you negotiate, remember that saying is expected that you vote for money. Right? That part of your money is prepared. It's not cast into stone. Now, you are saying to us that you got a straight check and out of which you can't maneuver even a single person.
But now, our major ruling will conclude this phrase that you cannot phrase we talked about. And then, if, otherwise, there is, the right will remain, as you suggested. Okay. Thank you very much. We proceed, members, to the next page. There are no issues there. Members, thank you very much. We now. Baba and
Mr. Chair,
let me remind Baba that I am the chair. When I give a chance to speak, he doesn't change my rule. Don't do that again.
My apologies.
Go ahead, Lord.
The point I raised more than absolutely, Mr. Chair, that in the while that we've been discussing this bill, I've applied my mind and done some oversight on my own. I think this bill is helpful. And we'll go.
Wait. The very important is don't even think about it. Just wait for me to make a recommendation here. You guys, you will talk once I finish. Don't do it before I do that. You sound like no good. Making what is this thing? A declaration of this thing?
It's not even a declaration. At the stage
preliminary. Don't do it. Not yet. I will come back to you. You're going to get a chance now. Yes, and then.
Okay, that's why I didn't want to speak. But I'll wait for you.
When I finish speaking here, go to the next item.
No, then, Chair, the only thing is we want to express our gratitude for.
No, don't be in too much of a hurry. I'll invite you to do that next week. Don't worry. Honorable James, what is yours?
My question is that I think this will help. This bill will help some of the problems that we're having, but I think it underestimates the extent of the problem out there. I think we have some 40 places where there are significant withholding of rates. To my knowledge, about a dozen of them have actually set up parallel administrations, which in some cases are delivering services much better than the official ones. And I look at this bill, and this is not going to fix it. And to that end, I want to make two suggestions, which could, I think, still be included in the bill. And the first one is that there should be a stipulation that any municipality that's put under administration, as a first step, should have a fresh IDP filled out by a panel of experts, and then an administrator should be appointed to go forward. To my knowledge, that's not happening at the moment. The second thing is, I think there should be a stipulated period of, for example, 6 months after a municipality is sent to the Ministry of Health, after which there is some kind of test whether the municipality is managing to deliver certain basic services. And if it cannot deliver those services after that stipulated time period, I think the minister should be held accountable.
Okay. Let me conclude this first part. I want to express my thanks to all of you guys for having engaged robustly with the contents of this proposal. When it was presented.
also in the committee requested updates on a number of issues, including consideration of areas of municipalities under administration, that this report was meant to be before us, so that we look at what's happening there currently and so on. So we never understood the court that is being missed. But people like using this, I don't know why it was created to only be in the negative. They describe it that no, this is not a panacea. Some of us are doing it. We say it's not a cure. It was never presented to us. We knew that it was important. So we never understood this much, because we do expect that we cannot solve many of the problems we are facing on the ground by legislating off from the youth and consequences. The law is only one question. There are very specific things that build this ambition upon. In other words, it wants to do to empower the minister, professionalize administration, educate the relationship between stakeholders, so that here first the local public administration staff meeting. Those three for me appears to be the key pillars around which the bill hangs. The other stuff, including the very issue that they're talking about, will also be dealt with politically. In other words, by that I mean it's not just party political, yes, that, but also broad political interventions will be necessary by the other spheres of government in their relationship with municipalities, including they themselves changing the way they do things. That will affect the manner in which municipalities are done. But that's going to be what the agenda of the next field of the is. What we are going to get from the committee section next week, till this amendment is contained in a bill that's going to in how it is going to appear in the government budget with this amendment incorporated. So when it comes to us, we will then have to look at it carefully to see that it represents what we have discussed throughout this period of this discussion. And then we will vote. My sense is that we haven't had any difficulty, any disagreement of a profound nature in any of the amendments amongst us members. Haven't had any. Those that were pointed out, we have resolved them agreeably. Is that correct? Okay. So let's make sure that what comes out truly reflects that position. In other words, it must be correctly captured. It would be very helpful to get that sense. So we are dealing with the final hydrogen. And that was interesting. It's a fairly managerial, technical exercise, but can be very political if a mess arises in how these are captured but not represented. So we just have to make sure. So the committee will satisfy itself that what emerged here is what we agreed on. So thank you very much, members. As one of the unfinished business that we have is the matter of SALGA and its participation in committees and so on. Before, during, and after. consideration of the and so, so yeah, we will have that discussion, because I think it's a useful one. It's a continuous reflection on parliamentary
Thank you. pleasure that we report to you today that there's been a tremendous amount of consensus that has been achieved between or and amongst the stakeholders on the development of a policy framework for differentiation. The emerging policy trend regarding differentiation was also identified and will be included in the review of the local government white paper, which we are currently doing. Our colleagues in the department are currently working very hard. It will serve before your committee very soon. The reason for the differentiation, Chairperson, is that the assumption that one size fits all has never worked out doesn't work when it comes to smaller municipalities. And as a result, part of what we've been discussing in the initial engagement with SAC relates to issues of salaries, for example. If you do not differentiate between Matakia as a municipality and Msunduzi, you are going to find yourself able to pay an engineer in Msunduzi the same salary that you are paying an engineer in Matakia. And also the differentiation in terms of fiscal relations, which I don't want to bring here now, that says the decision has to be made. If you remember the State of the Nation address, one of the main issues that the President mentioned was we need to decide whether some municipalities must stay or some municipalities must go. Question then also becomes, are we then in future going to re-look at the creation of new municipalities in line with the requirements of the democratic principles of our constitution? And in terms of the housing accreditation support program for metros on the top 21 municipalities, it can be reported that the Department of Human Development has given second level of accreditation to current 6 metro and 2 district municipalities in the Northern Cape. The metros will obviously increase hopefully after the 18th of May, and that accreditation will extend to the expected metro. With regard to the feeling of critical positions in the identified smaller municipalities, it can be reported that the survey and benchmarking profile of critical posts has been finalized and presented to the minister. The statistics that are to follow, Chairperson, in terms of output 2, the improvement of basic services, are as follows. The national access to basic services with regard to water is 93% of the total household access to water. Sanitation is 70%, as at 30th September 2010. Electricity is 82%, as at 30th November 2010. And refuse removal is at 69%, as at 30th June 2010. The strategy and the business case for the development of a special purpose vehicle, the SPV, have been developed and approved by the National Minister, by National Treasury, and has been agreed that this particular SPV will be established as part of a government component. In terms of relevance for the development of the bulk infrastructure fund has been developed. Discussions are ongoing between us and the National Treasury. The business adopt a municipality concept paper and framework has been drafted. Protocol being developed as intervention to fast track the adoption of municipalities by business and also state-owned enterprises. With regard to Article 3, the implementation of community work program. The community work program scaled up significantly between April 2010 and December 2010. A total number of 81,412 work opportunities have been created during this specific period. A bulk of those chapters in the more impoverished part of the Eastern Cape. Of these work opportunities, 10,943 were created during the period September to December 2010. The program is implemented in 56 sites, spread throughout all the 9 provinces across 46 municipalities, covering over 400 wards. A draft ward-based cooperative program concept document was finalized, which links the implementation of CWP, Community Works Program, to functional cooperatives. A memorandum of understanding between the Department of Cooperative Governance and SAMACO, which stands for South African National Expectation Cooperative, has been signed to assist in the establishment of cooperatives and provide support and training to the existing cooperatives. The current financial allocation over the NCF is unlikely to sustain momentum in terms of job creation in the future. On output 4, the initiative supportive of the human settlement outcome, which is a strategic partner between ourselves and the Department of Human Settlements. A consultation process was identified, having initiated with the Departments of Human Settlements and Rural Development and Land Reform regarding densification. through this process, the work has been identified as one of the grey areas in terms of which the department has a lead role to play. The project will be assigned to the lead slash responsible department once the Sustainable Human Settlement and Basic Services Testing is in place. In terms of reference and joint work program between the Department of Cooperative Governance and the Department of Human Settlement and other critical role players are being finalized. In terms of references for the establishment of the Human Settlement Committee submitted to the Department of Cooperative Governance, DGs and the Department of Human Settlement, and roll out with regard to the establishment of committees will follow. The review of the Special Development Framework Guidelines for cities and large towns within the framework, draft Special Framework Guidelines to the statutes have been developed and done. And on output 4, Chairperson, the initiative of the Human Settlement Outcome continues. The support for the review of land use planning and management within the framework, the National Planning Commission requested comments on the Land Use Management Bill and have requested stakeholders to give comments on the draft bill. A joint action plan to support the National Upgrading Support Program. It depends on the finalization of the Land Use Management Bill. The project will be included in the joint work program between the Department of Human Settlements, the Department of Cooperative Governance, and other employers. Article 5, in terms of the deepening of democracy through the defined work committees, and I still go back to the beginning in terms of the vision, that every of the specific reporting components here includes a portion of the vision on work committees and deepening of democracy. Consultations on the draft proposal for the work committees are underway. The work will be incorporated into the work of the review of the white paper on the program. Provinces had to adopt provisional frameworks for the determination of out-of-pocket expenses for ward committee members as measures of support for ward committee functionality proved unacceptable. The majority of provinces have not adopted this framework due to the financial implications to municipalities for its implementation. National Treasury will be engaged for possible funding mechanisms to give effect to the national and provincial framework for the ward funding model. Output 6, the improved municipal financial and administrative capabilities. Workshops and establishment of municipal public accounts committees were convened in all provinces. All municipal public accounts committees have been established in Mpumalanga and Gauteng provinces. The municipal accounts and public accounts committees have not been established in the Free State, Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, Northwest provinces. Some municipalities established MPACs in KZN, Western Cape and Limpopo. Provinces have developed action plans to address previous audit outcomes and monitor the implementation of the action plan to facilitate improvement of the audit outcomes. All 9 provinces have established provincial coordinating committees and developed provincial action plans for Operation Clean Audit. Individual or shared internal audit units have been established in 225 municipalities and audit committees in 205 municipalities, but their functionality has not been assessed. In terms of the progress on the improvement of this financial sector, again, municipal debt and its composition was discussed at a meeting of the Budget Forum on the 5th of October 2010. The information from the National Treasury about debt will be used to finalize the draft revenue enhancement strategy. It is envisaged that a survey will be conducted to determine the scope of the debt and inform the draft revenue enhancement strategy. The finalization of implementation of the strategy needs to be fast tracked. The Department of Community Governance will work closely with municipalities to ensure that monies owed by provinces, national departments, and state-owned enterprises are paid. Improved human resource management and administrative practices, legislation with regard to the institutionalization of human resource systems to support recruitment and retention of workforce is reviewed and submitted to Parliament in the municipal systems amendment. The reduced number of municipalities in terms of overspending, I'm not sure whether Chairperson, you want me to go through those statistics, or maybe I should keep this slide because it's nearly the statistics. But to give you a sense,
that's exactly what people worry about. what they claim, what you can measure, doesn't exist. It's in your head.
So, yeah, talk to them. Talk to those statisticians. I didn't say you must treat them, but just talk to them.
Yeah.
Let them let have a sense. You are getting us used to the bad habit of skipping over finances and stats and numbers. How else do we tell?
I'm happy this committee is there. Some leaders have to go through a number of statistics.
Well, you deserve it now and then to be beaten up.
Okay, Jefferson, in terms of the overspending on municipalities, 80% of the municipalities, according to the first quarter section 71 report, are not adhering to this principle of sound financial management, as opposed to the baseline of 8% and the target of 4% for 2014. And the number of municipalities underspending on the CAPEX is 73.1% of municipalities have spent less than 25% of the budgeted amount for capital in the first quarter. The target is to reduce the baseline for under expenditure from 63% to 30%. It is accepted, though, that the first quarter figure of CAPEX will generally not be 25% of the appropriation. The reduced number of municipalities spending less than 5% on repairs and maintenance. Information is not available to all municipalities at present. Problem will only be resolved once there is a uniform municipal standard chart of accounts in place. National Treasury currently is developing such a chart and will only be able to provide it in year 2, which is 2012-2013, of the GA. Of the delivery agreement.
No, you mustn't give the DA credit where it's not true, right? That's why you must stay away from using acronyms.
The delivery agreement.
Yeah, you must write it out in full. It's important, not just because it creates confusion. But that's the tyranny of acronyms, is that you must then go back. By the way, what does it mean? Just from that comprehension to start. People who use acronyms say it's easier for them, I guess, but then they don't think about the target for whom they are making this thing. For when you read, then you must keep going back, regression, you know. When you teach your kids speed reading, don't keep going back, move up ahead fast. You can't if there are such humps along the way. Okay.
Chairperson, on the last output, single window of coordination, the most critical of them. The analysis papers on new bills and policies produced and recommendations regarding amendments to legislation that will take care of the money has been put forward. Reforms focus on the Municipal Services Act, the Municipal Property Rights Act, a new bill on support monitoring and intervention in provincial and local government, the Green Paper on Cooperative Governance and Review of the Equitable Share Framework. And I think this discussion, Chairperson, around the review of the Equitable Share Framework takes us back to the differentiation in terms of which municipalities would need to be funded directly from the national fiscal. Because there are some rural municipalities that totally have got no revenue at all. It doesn't matter how much you spend on it, you would never have to raise any money. And the preliminary conceptualization on the national capacity building framework review and institutionalization of 8 coordination mechanisms has taken place. The approach still has to be formalized, however. Extensive consultations have to be held to set up a national coordination model to get the buy-in of the level of stakeholders and have not been completed yet. A joint work occurred between National Treasury and on a revised monitoring and evaluation framework for government endorsed by MINMEC in December 2010. The work on differentiated approach to municipal planning, financing, and support has been prioritized with receive attention by March 2011, and that the lack of technical capacity, infrastructure funding, and operations and maintenance are still a major challenge facing municipalities with regard to access to basic services. However, good progress in the establishment of the SPV, which will address some of these challenges, is being made. Operationalization is the 1st of April 2011. We can report, Chair, that the CS Amanje engineers who have been with the DBSA have now been moved to the department, and I think we're at a stage where they are supposed to be managed within the SPV itself. Discussions with National Treasury are also ongoing with regard to the establishment of public infrastructure funds. A protocol on conflict of interest is being developed as an intervention to facilitate the adoption of municipalities by the private sector and state-owned enterprise. Chairperson, just to clarify this one, we all agree that there are African municipalities, their economies are totally dependent on the existence of certain state-owned enterprises. And therefore, for those state-owned enterprises to adopt those specific municipalities, might just as well be that they own the municipalities. If the economy of Lephala is dependent on Eskom, this is going to be very soon the biggest business that any municipality, generation of energy. If they adopt Lephala, they use their own terminology. The municipalities and provinces have to recommit to meet the municipal infrastructure grant and community work program, national targets and planning. Provinces and municipalities must support the national job creation target by prioritizing labor intensive projects. Current allocation of financial resources for the CWP is unlikely to sustain the momentum of job creation in the future, and therefore additional funds will have to be requested. The recommendations that have gone and that have been made to the governance and administration cluster, the cabinet, cabinet committee, are as follows. Continue. A high level task team led by the Department of Corporate Governance and Human Security and a joint work program between key stakeholders is being finalized to deal with accelerated development of sustainable human settlements and universal access to basic services. The National Treasury continues to be engaged for possible funding mechanisms to give effect to the national and provincial frameworks for the ward funding model. The provincial COPTA, a cooperative government department, international affairs department, will cooperate with and fully support the work of the inspectorate dealing with fraud and corruption in provinces and municipalities. Under the finalization and implementation of the revenue enhancement strategy will be fast tracked. The Department of Cooperative Governance will work closely with the municipalities to ensure that money is owed by provinces and national departments and state owned enterprises are paid, and that the provinces will particularly assist in monitoring the municipalities' indicators on the operational expenditure and capital expenditure. Provinces are expected to roll out support programs on this year. The approval needs to be sought not to only report against the indicators of operations and maintenance in year 3 of the delivery agreement implementation plan at National Treasury will only be able to provide information in the second year. The National Consultative Workshop will be convened with the sector department and provincial contacts to deliberate on the coordination and mechanism and institutional arrangements aligning the delivery agreement and local practice in our strategic process. The following audio recording are recommendations that went through that the finalization of content and integrated reporting template by the Department of Cooperative Governance on both the indicators of local government and our strategy and program of action on outcome 9 will be fast-tracked. For the second progress report indicated in the next slide, the information will be used for the local government and our strategy report submitted by provinces in February, which is now, for period October to December 2010. The program will be communicated soon to all members of the executive committees on plans to revitalize local government turnaround strategy across the country that will seize the opportunity of the newly elected councils after the 2011 municipal elections. This revitalization, Chairperson, is with the understanding that we are going to be receiving a new tranche of councillors who are not well aware with the contents of the processes of the municipal turnaround strategy. The provinces start developing their own plans and initiatives to revitalize energy targets and more intensely communicate the successes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Before we go into the clean audit presentation, I'd like us to discuss this one. Okay, and get it. So congrats, we can be brief in our comments. Any questions from it? Yes, Honorable Kageta, Honorable Lorima, Honorable Dela. Honorable Major, Honorable Wenda.
Question. Maybe before I ask, only two questions. But before I get into the questions, I'll maybe check with the department whether, because most of the presentations in this slide, it's recommendations to government and GNA cabinet and administration. So I'm hoping maybe that after they presented their recommendations, there will be another briefing before the portfolio committee of saying how far is the recommendation and how are they planning to come into implementation plan. And also, I just want to check, I don't know, it's like page 8, I think, so it's saying Zamanda the engineers has been transferred to the department from the PSA. I will correct me, the information we're having is that it's only 26 engineers. What about the others? What did they? And also, what will happen with the budget that has been allocated maybe from the information we got from Treasury? I just want to clarify on that one.
Okay, don't worry, we'll come back. Next question, yes, in that order. Jay?
On slide 6. What qualifies access to basic services in terms of water? For how many days a year do you have to have access to that water for you to be put on this list as having household access to water? I'll tell you why I asked the question, because I can immediately think of six places that I've dealt with recently who've had no water for a significant length of time. So in other words, they've got the infrastructure, but it doesn't work. Are those places classed as having household access or not? And how many days a year do they have to have it for them to get classed as having access?
Thanks. I'd like to compliment the department on a comprehensive report. But Chair, I've got just two, three areas I'd like to pose questions on. Same slide the Honourable Member is referring to, James, slide 6, of having access to basic services. We are talking of current households who have access to basic services. My question is, what about those in rural areas who are still living without these basic services? What is being done to that to ensure that we speed up the issue of service delivery? Second question, Chair, if you go to slide 7, we're talking of a total number of 81,412 work opportunities which have been created. Can we get from the department specific details as to in what fields or sphere of work have these jobs been created and how many in each province, so that we can be able to assess as honorable members how each province is progressing. But there's the bullet on the same slide, number 4, current financial allocation over the MTEF is unlikely to sustain the momentum of job creation in the future. If you are unlikely to sustain the momentum of job creation, how will then jobs be created to meet the targeted jobs? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. On page 16, no, page 8, there's a paragraph which says the province and municipality must support the national job creation target by prioritizing labor intensive deposit. What do you mean by that? Of course, the one I'm asking this question. Because they outsource everything to clean the street. I'll go to what this street is being cleaned by somebody else, and that one.
Let me think.
they presented. I think I'm saying the same thing as member and saying it. It was music to me rather than reading the more especially their chronic the things that the MCCEO is. Let me come to my questions. I don't know as to whether am I living in Mars or am I living in planet Earth. When you talk about let's say page 3 we talk about refuse removal. 69% of the total households access to refuse removal services at 30 June 2010. Is it for a specific area or I just want clarity to what you mean because I haven't seen a clean place that I can say you can recommend because the refuse all over, more especially even in our best areas, let's say for instance a place like Center, you find that it's in a mess as far as refuse removal is concerned. Now it's going to be something else when I talk of a province like the Northwest. I just want some clarity to what you mean by 69%. I haven't seen anything of that type. And then page 4, where you talked about like my honorable chief here, honorable Mandela, 81%. I mean 81,412 workers. I did some clarity. Which workers are you talking about? Is it permanent or temporary workers? Is all the provinces included? Or just give us the clarity of the 81,000 that you are mentioning here. Chair, page 7. The number 11 on 13. You mentioned something about uniform municipal standard charter accounts. What stops the department to get this municipality the uniformity in working in the municipality? Is there a problem in getting this? Because I think this is not the first time when you say when uniform is in place. Is there a problem to get things working in the way you state it here, like municipal accounts in place? Thank you.
Just an overall comment on the presentation. I agree, member, that this is very useful and it gives a broad overview of things, and in that sense at least it provides us with an indication of where things are as part of the it serves the purpose, in other words, of an update on implementation of the turnaround strategy, and in that sense it's very good. We think that's useful to get this sense of things and so on. But here is I would like to ask a question I asked first, and it's not really an editorial comment, but it is about the substance of your reporting to us. It serves a useful purpose if you give us an evaluation of what you said before and what's different now. But also, when you speak about access, not like a checklist saying, no, this is done, this is done, this is done. But it doesn't communicate much in a detailed sense of, not too detailed, but just an evaluative comment on the issue would serve a better purpose. So in the way in which you present some of your report here, for example,
as an MEC for local government and housing, I was involved in the policy framework that recommended accreditation and so on. But it would make sense to me to understand, by the way, what the hell is level two? These three levels, which ones are they? Okay, if you have to talk about it now. So in a sense, you are not really communicating to all of us sitting here. So we are not able to make sense of the importance and significance of this thing in the scheme of things. Why? What has it got to do with the weather in Cape Town today, this morning? Right. So what I mean by evaluation? Yes, we know about accreditation. We have a sense of it, but we would like you to give us an evaluative comment on the significance of that, and you report it as part of the turnaround strategy for municipalities. So that would be helpful. This is what I'm talking about overall editorial, but also the quality of your reporting to us must make sense to us sitting here. Firstly, editorially, don't use acronyms because we want to understand you quickly. We don't have very little time to go referencing our dictionary of acronyms, including asking you. But also, evaluating comments would be very useful. The second one is you report on initiatives around what is it called? Let me just name it because it is here. Improve municipal financial and administrative capabilities. We asked when the DG was present here last week, presenting when you guys were presenting the infrastructure, this question of capacity emerged, and I asked what your relationship is and what is the nature of the World Bank's input in this area of work. And he said he didn't know what it is. Did you guys check that at all? This stuff comes from the budget review documentation. I hope you read that stuff as well. I can't understand how the World Bank can be given responsibility to provide the support to Treasury on building capacity in this area of finances countrywide, and COPTA does not know about it. I don't understand that, unless you tell me otherwise. Please let me know what on earth is going on there, what is it, do you know? And if you don't today, check and come back to us and tell us what is the nature of that agreement, what is the nature of the contract that the World Bank has with Treasury to provide capacity, what capacity? You are working in the same area. And surely, since you are the principal department that deals with the municipality, surely you should be the first one who knows which stakeholder is engaged in this area. So, and on what basis? the slide 20, I'm going to go all over the document. For my own convenience. In slide 20, the recommendation to the Governance and Administration Cabinet Committee. Do you have a program for induction of the new municipalities? In other words, as the national department, what preparations are in place to induct the new councils that are going to come in? They are going to come in literally at the end of in the municipal cycle of the end of the financial year and the introduction of the new staff. Now, when you talk about at that stage, talking about revitalizing IDPs, you see, one of the big issues is those IDPs were not personal opinions of the councillors and officials, right? Presumably. So, what do you mean by revitalize in the middle of that stuff? So, in other words, what program is there for continuity and change? that they want their rubbish collected. They're not going to change their opinion about that because there's a new council. They're not decided always, but decided on the South Sea Angle. So, in the morning, the story's gone.
Okay.
So, all I'm saying is that, do you have a program for induction? What are the critical things that you have identified for introducing the new councillors?
That's very crucial for me, in terms of the, especially because of the what I call continuity and change. There are important things that have been introduced in the period that these guys are going to be coming into, and therefore there ought to be a systematic way. There is a transitioning to those who are coming out of the system and those who are coming in, and the relationship they are going to have with what has been going on all along. So we would like to hear what program do you have for that, and it's key to the implementation of the local government. To go back to slide number 3. Provide that first bullet there from the Constitution. You have no authority on that to rewrite the Constitution, right? Or make comment on its language anymore. and you emphasized that line reads, provide democratic and accountable government for local communities. Not off. That's your. That's for local communities. So you are rewriting the constitution when you say what you say. Just check it out. It's a small but very important point. This assumption, this program for businesses to adopt municipalities. You know. Can I say it openly that I don't like it? Am I allowed to say that democratically? What assumptions are you making about the capacity of those businesses? And which businesses are these? What are they invited to do when they've adopted a municipality? They need adopting themselves. And there are qualitative differences between municipalities, the public sector and business. What specifically do we want to get from these businesses that you are inviting to come and do this? What? Please, just inform me, tell me what it is. In other words, I'm not clear. I haven't heard any clear targeted explanation of this invitation to municipalities for business to adopt them. See, when you say an MP must adopt a library, you know exactly what's going to, you have a sense of what's going to happen then. Libraries need the status of MPs to help them mobilize in the community, to encourage people to use it and to stop tearing and stealing books and so on, and inviting the public to contribute books, to use it, and so on, invite goggles and old timers to come and tell stories there and so on. You know what that's going to happen. What do you want business to come and do there? What are you taking for granted that you think we must accept that you are saying businesses are going to do that? The land use management bill. I have been in parliament since technically December 1994 up to 1999, went to the province, came back in 2004. The land use management bill hangs around somewhere here. Now, why don't we have indications of time frames within which it's going to be before us? It's in the hands of the Planning Commission now, so it's in the presidency now. So can we expect, can we get some indication of a date by which this thing must be finalized, drafted, so that we can engage with the process? And I guess, members, this is a matter that must serve in the meeting that we recommend that must be between us and human settlements, and we invite
interest in discussing this bill. And it's a very critical one, and we really would like to see get an indication of where the how soon we can finalize it. And finally, Honorable Mklangeta made the point I was making that the following people have done this job, the others don't, and you don't explain why. So that's the point. It illustrates the point I was making. You're not giving us an evaluation. Why did the Free State, my province, fail to establish municipal public accounts committees? Is it in any way related to the state of finances in those municipalities? Here from San Jorge, Michela, simply so says. Who has the answers? Oh, okay, all right.
Thanks, Comrade Chair. Part of our work, we are supposed to do an oversight as both the committees. But now, with these figures, we don't know where it is. Like this one, we say them on page 6. That is sanitation 70%. Where does the figures come from? Is it this from Limpopo or where? Because there are figures in 90% water, water. Where does this come from? Because we are supposed to go down and check whether this happened. Now, the report's nice, but to us, to do our job, it's empty to the road. Because we are supposed to go down and follow what you have said to do to us. Even now, you are just 93%, 69%. Where is this? Where are we going to go and check whether these figures are right or not? And so, in the same, like this, and on slide 7, on these 10 9 4 3 were created during period September to December. This job, 20 rand per day for somebody. What is it that? Was it a permanent job? If so, who created them? Because there are a lot of companies there. They said we want to get them 10 rand a day. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. I think there are quite a number of questions. What I've recorded is more than 27. What we'll do, we'll allow the colleagues to respond to some of the questions, and those that we do not necessarily have answers, we'll provide answers at the later stage. Perhaps I should start with the question that you raised, Chair, around the induction of a new councillor. We are working with SALGA. They are prepared to can come to this committee and present the program of action where we are talking about the issues that will be inducting a new councillor about. So that program is in place. With regard to the work of the World Bank, the one that we are aware of is the program on the large city support program. We have a colleague that will be able to talk to that. So let me allow colleagues to talk to all the questions that have been raised. And just to appeal to them that if you don't have an answer, you should just indicate that you don't have the answer.
I like it. Absolutely. It's music to my ears. Absolutely, yes. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm going to touch on the ones that I have access to and comment only where I think comment is necessary. Chairperson, I think all the comments from the members of the committee. Firstly, I do agree that I think the HNTG, in terms of the whole presentation, after the government last time,
which of the recommendations are finally put to the cabinet, and they can also be taken up, I think, upon our recommendation by the Deputy Minister of the to the groups, the study groups that are taking place in Parliament over the issues. Because as far as the manager is concerned, it is not the 26 engineers. There is 130 engineers that are currently in the books of the development bank of South Africa. And the 136 have been transferred, there was a question on the budget. The budget that has been transferred with the 130 engineers is 198 million to the department. So we're at the stage where, in as far as accountants are concerned, we have been deployed by the GBSA to municipalities. From now on, the GBSA only deals with paying their salary, but the reporting is done directly to national treasury. In as far as the engineers are concerned, they've been transferred to the department. The modalities have been worked out as we speak. The biggest issue that they are grappling with is that many of these people are on contract, which would not necessarily carry down their salary. An example being that many of them are 1.3-1.4 million per annum contract. And if you look at how they are supposed to be paid within the personal system, it's likely to keep them out. So the proposal that is currently being discussed is to probably leave the payment of salaries again in the GBSA for the next few months, up until hiccups are sorted out between the department and the personal system around paying these people and also TPSA. So it's 130 and not 26.
I have to say, just a quick one, the figures you quote are different from those that are in the report that we were given last time. Slightly, but they are different. So if you can get us more accurate figures about those numbers, then that would be very helpful, but proceed, that's okay.
No, we will definitely send you the exact figures for the chairperson. In terms of what qualifies, it is a very intricate question. What qualifies access to a service, specifically water? The member is asking if the facility is there, you've got a water purification plant, but it's not working. In the statistics, is it included? The likelihood is that it is included because the assumption is that it is working. What we are not presenting to you is the number of water wells or sanitation wells that are not operational or that have ceased to operate. And in terms of the statistics that we are giving, it's the statistics that we received. Remember, when it comes to water and sanitation, we're also dependent on the Department of Water Affairs, because some of it is lies, their own responsibility to provide those services. But if a facility is non-functional, I beg to say that it is likely to be included here as part of the recipient or the service delivery mechanism, and in the meantime, the plant is not working. In as far as the rural access to basic services is concerned, it is something that we have to come back to the members with, because if you look at the number that we are giving, the percentage of 93% of water use, it's only 7%, and we know that there is quite a number of rural areas that do not have access to basic services in the conventional way of access to basic services as water on the tap or coming out of a tap. So the rural ones, we have to come back to the committee around. In as far as the momentum on the local government turnaround strategy is concerned, the process around how municipal turnaround strategies, the specific turnaround strategies per municipality, were developed. And I can understand, Chair, if you say, in our last report, we had indicated that each municipality was going to be expected to develop a turnaround strategy. What has happened is that we expected municipalities to do at least the following. Come up with a turnaround strategy, which is an all-inclusive process, but make sure that there is a council resolution adopting the turnaround strategy and incorporating it into the IDP. Turnaround strategies on their own are not legal if they are not incorporated into the IDPs, and therefore cannot be budgeted for, and you can't spend money on them unless you've got the proper resolution. We have had quite a number of to and fro with provinces where they say, yeah, but the council has seen the turnaround strategy. Our argument in the department being that council has seen it approved, it has it been incorporated in the IDP. So that process has become a process that we have now finalized, and we are happy that quite a number of these municipal cases have now adopted them. But when you want to revitalize, I think the word revitalize is, for lack of a better word, is to make sure that we orientate the new councils as to where we are in terms of the turnaround strategy as against outcome 9. In the next reporting mechanism, outcome 9 turnaround strategy and the program of action is going to be one separate report, because they all cascade into one trough. And we are therefore going to make sure that that reporting remains the same. The labor intensiveness of the nature of the work that is being done on CWP, it's a question that I would rather we leave and we bring the statistics back to this committee chairperson for every municipality that has been given, because every municipality is given 1,000 job opportunities. But when we speak of a municipal site for CWP, the expectation is that 1,000 job opportunities are going to be created. But what the committee is looking for is the specifics: which municipality, which wards, and how many people, what is the nature of the work that is being done, and the duration of the work that is being done by the municipality. I think that's the report that we have to submit to this committee. The activities you will give a direction, but we need to make also just a written submission to the committee chair in advance so that you are able to see the specific statistics. Chairperson, the next question that I'm going to go to, and if I skip some questions and not respond to them, I think the colleagues will deal with them. The time frames that the committee is looking for are collections. Chair, there is a difficulty for municipalities, which I personally would sympathize with, trying to collect money from provincial and national departments and state-owned enterprises. The bigger you are and the bigger your budget is, the more difficult it is for a small municipality to really take steps against you and collect. I would give you an example. A municipality like Mafikeng is almost entirely dependent on government. The only thing they have is government offices. And they are being owed a lot of money by the government. For almost a year, there was a to and fro where the government department or the public works have taken the cue that they are going to quit the bill. So they sit for months on end negotiating whether this bill is correct, the bill is not correct, you know, all those kinds of things. So all I'm saying is that it is difficult for smaller municipalities to muscle government entities and also government departments to be able to collect. We know there is schools, for example. You switch off a school that has an outcry. We at some point have to recommend to Mafikeng to switch off the complex, the government complex itself. So at least the premier would not get the message that the municipality is collapsing, not out of their own making, but because they are being owned by government. The MPEX, Chair.
I'm sorry to do this, but let me use this opportunity to say that part of your responsibility as the national department, you are in a sense partly responsible for providing that weight that you say the smaller municipalities do not have to balance up these things so that we can do that. In fact, specifically, we would like you to give us a responses in the next 2 weeks of the result of your interaction with the 9 provinces and concretely where they are at the payment of municipal. We must be members, just for your information, the Department of National Public Works has delegated the responsibility for payment of services to provinces. So provincial departments are the ones that are now responsible for receiving these monies and paying rates and taxes for all government buildings, building entities. So that's where we should be targeting, okay? And so we should speak to each of those provincial departments of public works and asking them specifically what their story is, but interacting with municipality to facilitate the resolution of those things. And we would like to see a difference in the shortest possible time. I mean, in the next 3 months, we must have a written picture of where the situation is in every province. Because clearly, we do talk about the necessity for expenditure capacity. We requested the department to investigate Bela Bela. They were out 5 million by Limpopo provincial government.
evidence, concrete evidence of the work they were doing, but they were being hobbled by a provincial department that was not paying them money. So we said, intervene, go and get, tell us what's happening there.
We still wait for that response, if you can, if you remember to do that. So it's an example of what you are talking about. And you see, in Gauteng, they said, no, it's only, they gave some small percentage, in their opinion, what is small. Yet those amounts make a huge difference to a municipality to get the 150,000 that they are owed. A huge impact on their cash flow, and they're able to do things that otherwise they wouldn't do. And we shouldn't conflate problems of corruption with responsibility for you to pay. So this must not be conflated. We must work on their financial management capacity. That's a given. But we must work on our responsibility to pay what we owe. No excuses. Okay? So we must not make any excuses for this sort of thing. So, especially because this is government, we have to act ruthlessly. We must be ruthless with each one of them that are not doing this. If they are not prepared to cooperate. I think sometimes we are also too lax as well. This is one area where the department must act ruthlessly. If you don't, we will act ruthlessly on you as well. I'm saying something I've never said before. But I think it's worth saying this is a serious issue for the discipline of financial management. We have a very important responsibility. Okay, next.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think just to one of the other ones to mitigate what the department is doing, we are currently finalizing the employment of technical support units in all the provinces. I think the unit for Eastern Cape is already in place. Just to put the committee in the picture, it's happening that in every province there would be a provincial coordinator in the form of a provincial manager at the chief director level, supported by four directors, would be manning a quarter of this in that position.
Staffing. The whole story on the manning as gender insensitive. Staffing.
I'm sorry to the ladies. But
no, you must apologize to us.
There will be there will be individuals four bodies in the form of project manager, with a PA and an office manager and an admin officer. The reason why they have to be in the province is that sometimes it takes, we're not necessarily being told the truth by the provincial department as to what the actual issues are. So it's better if people are on the ground and reporting directly to us and going to them in fact to find out what the challenges are. In the question that relates to why some impacts don't get some problems, I think just to be fair and open, Chairperson, just mainly in the main politics. It's in the main what you have also said. That not all municipalities in all these provinces are reluctant. The issue is that MPEC is an oversight process. And my experience about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, was that many of the councillors did not want to see MPEC established. Because it will be their colleagues and counterparts who are going to hold them responsible and accountable. So what we are doing here is many councillors, the ex-co members of council, and some officials in some provinces who would not like to see this happen. And it's something that needed to be legislated as quickly as possible so that there is no choice. Because we are sitting now currently where national government must come and account to parliament. But when you go to municipalities, unless a municipality is called to the provincial scope, nobody accounts to anybody. Committees that exist in council have to account to anybody. The comparative presentation that we're looking for, Chairperson, I think it's only fair that we should do that within the next month or 6 weeks, the latest, to bring you where we were when we did the last presentation to you, this current presentation, and where we would be in the next month, so that you are able to tick the boxes in your own way and understand that there is progress and there is challenges we are able to clarify that with you. The silo effect in terms of what the National Treasury is doing, I think, very good DG has dealt with that. And the induction of councillors, I think, has also dealt with that. The business adopt municipalities. Yeah, Chairperson, it's more saying to a business, this small municipality does not have an engineer or does not have an accountant. Is it possible for ventures that are currently coming up in the Northern Cape, whether they would be able to borrow the municipality for 2 days or for 3 days a specific accountant to assist them with financial management, or even an engineer to provide support and mentorship to deal with their own infrastructure. There's a number of businesses who are prepared to do that. And I do agree with you, some of the businesses themselves are in trouble. They need to help themselves. But in reality, that there's quite a number of big businesses that have volunteered. We already have had, for example, PricewaterhouseCoopers volunteer about four people to one municipality, and that has assisted the financial department. The specifics, again, Chairperson, that is being required and has been emphasized by members of your committee. I think we have to take each and every slide, more especially on when we talk about statistics on service delivery, to say the statistics that you see here, members, are national statistics. They are not statistics for a specific municipality or province. They are national statistics. So they need to be broken down to say in this province, of the 63%, we mean 49% in this province. Of this 63% or 93%, we mean 80% in this province. So we need to break it down and give you that full report. Then it will make sense. Because currently it's just a national figure that we are giving. The Land Use Management Bill, Chairperson, I'm going to leave and not comment on it. The rest that I've left out on this side, may I request the colleagues to really assist me here?
Can I keep you? I'm a bit disturbed when the presenter was replying to Mr. Lorimer's query that if you have a plant, what I have here, there's a plant in such and such a place. If it's not working, we don't know. He made mention of that. I picked up something like that. What disturbed me is the department telling us that there's no aftercare or monitoring in the department, like when he was talking about water in such a place, and he said, what I know is we have this, and if it's not working, I don't know whether it's not working. Don't you have monitoring or aftercare? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. This issue of basic services, Chairperson, really poses very very complex challenges for us, you know. In the last presentation by the department, they were saying to us by 2014 we will have 100% of delivery on these basic services, such as water sanitation. I'm just left wondering, how do we begin measuring this? If we can't quantify it per municipality and per ward, how many houses are there? How many houses are actually having access to these basic services? And how many houses actually do not have even any of these basic services? So that we begin plotting a map forward that will make us arrive at our destination at 2014. So we given figures here that we can never make sense of, that we can never begin measuring. If we go out and do oversight, where do we begin doing oversight? Where do we begin holding the department accountable for the information that they provide to us? I think this is, for me, really unacceptable. We can't seem to arrive at a destination when we don't have the figures, when we don't know where we are headed. Thank you, Chair.
Before Machaba, you come in, or anybody else, I'm going to stop you from doing that. I'm going to request them to complete answering. But I also want to say to you, Honorable Mandela and Honorable Stella, both your comments confirm the importance of inviting the other sources of this information. The Department of Water, the other departments, so that we can talk to them about this matter, including issues of verification and monitoring and evaluation, as you are saying, so that we must have the satisfaction that the manner in which this work is done is an important one. Maybe supposed to be the ones that have the most up-to-date information. The statistics are a little dated because they are aggregated and done at a certain period of time, but they are nevertheless significant in the overall framework. So my suggestion is for us, as part of the additional responses they are going to give us, that we prioritize this meeting to get a sense, a comprehensive sense of the strategies of each of those departments to deal with these issues. I know the discussion in the water sector is huge about municipalities and so on. There are stories to tell to us about including programs that they are talking about, which includes monitoring and so on. So I'm just suggesting that we prioritize that interaction to just beef up what we have had today and last week on infrastructure and the services component. Proceed to respond to the last of the remaining questions that then members can ask after next year.
Thanks, Chair. I'll allow Arada to respond on the land use management bill and the issue of the World Bank. Then Mr. Precis will come in, and then he will also add on the issues of the community work program. I wanted to indicate that perhaps the issue of the functionality of audit committee and the MPEP, we could put them aside so that we allow the next presentation, because it does allude to that, because it's part and parcel of that project.
Thank you, Chair, and members of the committee. Just a quick response on the land use management bill. The department was tasked by the presidential coordinating council to review legislation that impedes service delivery across sectors of government. And land use management was found to be one of the key impediments to service delivery. And in that process, we have been interacting with the Department of Human Settlements as well as the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. Recently, the portfolio committee, the planning commission has taken over the task of coordinating the drafting of the bill on land use management, which they are calling Special Planning and Land Use Management Bill. And we have delivered our comments to the Planning Commission. They are responding to the Constitutional Court judgment of the case between Johannesburg, City of Johannesburg, and the Provincial Government of Gauteng. The deadline that has been provided for by the Constitutional Court, which set aside the provisions of Chapter 4 of the DFA, sorry for using the acronym, Development Facilitation Act, it has set aside the provisions. They were found to be unconstitutional, and therefore it left a vacuum for a national framework to be developed on land use management. So that
you specify that the Constitutional Court said the provinces must dip their noses out of
at the core of the contestation was the independence of municipalities in dealing with planning or development planning. And in the case of Johannesburg, Gauteng Department or Gauteng Province had set up tribunals which were processing the applications for the use of land. And because the municipality felt that the province had no right to do so, so it could plan on its own without necessarily having to make the applications. Mm-hmm. The Constitutional Court, the issue was taken to the Supreme Court, which passed the judgment, and they appealed the decision, and it was therefore taken to the Constitutional Court. The Constitutional Court upheld the decision of the Supreme Court, and it has now given government a deadline of June 2018 introduce a new framework which will guide land use management. However, it has also suggested that it will set aside that decision until the deadline of June. So meaning that in provinces where there is no capacity, or in municipalities where there is no capacity, provinces are still taking that responsibility of development or of forward planning. So until June next year, or until the draft bill has been introduced, that decision will be set aside. So we are participating in the processes of in the interministerial committee as well as the task team that is busy processing the bill. The department that would be responsible for introducing the bill to Parliament would be the Department of Land Reform. It will not be COGTA per se, but we will be participating as I have indicated. With regards to the question on the World Bank, we have had interactions with National Treasury to ascertain the status of this project. We found that the National Treasury approached the World Bank to solicit support on that will be provided to large cities, and the project, they're calling it Large City Support Program. The project is at a planning stage. It's aiming to finish the planning processes by April, May, and the implementation will start in August. There is a steering committee that has been set up, which COGTA will be participating in. Briefly, the focus of the support is aimed to look into the technical assistance relating to planning and budgeting, mainly with a focus on service delivery. We had two meetings so far, one with the World Bank to get a brief on the project, and the second one with National Treasury. But the actual participation in the activities will only start in the next meeting of the steering committee. So we will only be able to brief the committee on the details of the project after we have started participating in the steering committee meetings. But that is just the brief that I could give so far. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Excuse me.
Let me just make a recommendation there.
Yes.
I think as a committee, we would be interested in the brief to the World Bank and the, just to understand what the brief is, okay? An interaction between yourselves and Treasury on this issue specifically so that we get an understanding of it. There's an expansion of metros, and there's a lot of discussion about that capacity. What informs them. So we would like to be kept up to date with it, but we will follow it up formally. Okay.
Maybe just to say that the currently the World Bank team is in the country and is visiting the identified cities. They are looking into Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni, Cape Town, Mangaung, Buffalo City, and Zwane. They are busy gathering information to check and assess the systems that are being used so that the kind of support that will be provided can be dedicated and can be differentiated according to the needs of a particular city. But I agree, Chairperson, will do a follow-up and will brief you or the committee on the interactions with World Bank. What we did with World Bank was just a preliminary meeting to understand what the project is all about, and then they directed us to National Treasury, and now we'll be participating in the steering committee, which will be happy to come and give a briefing afterwards.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just would like to comment on your remarks, Chairperson, on the way that we were reporting. We report in this particular fashion because obviously, the LG TAS turnaround strategy has been converted into your delivery agreement outcome 9, the agreement between the minister and the president at the MECs and the mayors. And this again has been converted in your program of action on outcome now, on outcome 9. So for this particular financial year, we have certain targets and milestones that we have to meet. And those were the ones that we were reporting on this morning. That was the first progress report on your program of action on outcome 9. That is what is expected from us as a department in terms of the delivery agreement, and the presidency is monitoring us on that, and we are reporting to cabinet on that. And those recommendations that you've seen that we have made are actually the recommendations that we made to cabinet 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and those were accepted. What needs to happen now is that there's a quarterly reporting. So that was the first progress report that we have done now for this year, based on the targets that we must meet for this year. The second progress report is now due in April, that we must again report progress to presidency and to cabinet. So in a sense, I would appeal, please, that we have done the first progress report, and the second one is due next month, and that we were able to demonstrate progress, you know, when we have done the next cycle, you know, also for the committee to be able to engage that. So in a sense, that's just the context of the way we have been reporting. We have been reporting on those targets set for us for this financial year, according to the delivery agreement and the program of action. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, I will be addressing mostly the issues that have been raised around the community work program. MP Mandela asked the finance categories of projects that are being implemented in the community work program. Most of the work continues to fall around broad sort of four categories. One of them is finance agriculture, which includes community and household food security, gardens, care for the environment and the rehabilitation. So some of the community work program that focuses on those projects. Then there's also under construction includes renovation of public facilities such as schools and clinics, fencing of communal and homestead gardens. These are some of the community work program that sort of are being implemented at implementation level. There's also community services that will only fall within the remit of local municipalities. This includes cleaning of local roads and other public spaces. Many sites have a strong focus on cleaning and greening fountains with rubbish pickups, eradication of illegal dumping sites, and public education campaigns. These are some of the sites. In terms of the spread of the sites, at the present moment in Gauteng, we've got about 56 sites that are being implemented.
Come on, Mayor, there's a former mayor of rural mayor.
There are sites in Gauteng, almost all the provinces, but the focus
community-wise.
Most of the work on it, there are ones in the Eastern Cape, particularly under Alfrenzo and Oatambo municipality. There are also some in KZN. But to add, there was also a question about the sustainability of the budget. When we initially got the allocation for this program, there were no targets that were set. For them, so with the signing of the delivery agreement, there was a decision that was adopted that we should implement at least two sites per municipality, because the sites normally constitute about 1,000 people. But if we talk now about two sites per municipality out of 237 local municipalities, then that would mean that the budget also has to cater for that. And unfortunately, at the present moment, the budget doesn't cater for those two sites per municipality. So we are looking at reallocating now the funding to accommodate these two sites. Maybe now, instead of having 1,000 per site, we can have 500 per site.
there was also an increase in wage because we're paying 60 rand a day. There's an increase now to 60 rand. And it's not, it's sort of accommodated in the budget. And we do have those budget challenges. Thank you.
The community rent problem area that we're talking about, can you give us a list of where this is taking place? You must provide us with that if you'd like to have that list so that we know it.
Yes.
Yes, Chair. I was actually going to dwell further on that point on the specific jobs created. So if it's community services, how many jobs per province, so that we are able to measure the success of those jobs created, and if they are permanent or temporary jobs. So we'd like to get more detail on that. Thank you.
No, what I'm going to suggest is we need more information.
Yeah.
Provide it as early as possible. Let's go through the community clean audit. Otherwise, we are wanting to attack.
Yes, Chair, I just needed to clarify an issue in my response to the question from the one.
Yeah, okay.
The issue was the question you were asking was the statistics that we are providing, and I would like to recollect that how I understood you. Was that, are you saying, is 93% supply of water or access? Of water, in spite of the fact that there are certain areas where the facilities have been functional and people have been without water for some time. Does that also come out in the statistics as access to the basic services? Now I understood the question. My response was trying to say my understanding is that these are the stats that we have received, and it's likely that where even communities have stayed without water might have been included in the statistics. There was no multi-trick trying to respond to that specific question.
Can I just say this to you? You see, the question, the way Honorable Lorema asked it was rhetorical. He was making a political statement. What area qualifies to have access to water? I mean, that's the statement he's making. So I thought, but the essence of it, as I understood, is that this statistic, what do they represent? Do they represent provision of infrastructure for water, or for water really, and for how long? Okay, so this is the issue that you're talking about, that the content and quantum of statistics must be given meaning, so that we can be able to do, we have provided it infrastructure, what's going to follow is the use of that infrastructure to be, for example, for, I have been in housing before, we've connected all the housing, but we don't have water before because this, the power supply from the district has not followed. But we have the infrastructure. And the question is, do you have that infrastructure in your statistics about availability of water? And so the essential point again is, do you evaluate it? So I thought what we would want to say is that be as accurate as possible in providing information that you say. We have provided infrastructure in the following areas, but we are in Tukuluko, in the Free State, for example, there's a geographic problem of water availability that you have not succeeded to support the municipality to draw water from the river, I will call Singu. It's already river load so that people can have access to water there. And so there are constant problem of availability of water there, but you can tell that certain element parts of the area have got infrastructure, but they've got no water. So that's those are the manner in which you provide information. You can point out this infrastructure, but there's a water accessibility problem. And this is what we are doing about it. Instead of just putting it this way, it doesn't talk as accurately as we would like to have. Honorable Machoba, then you can respond to that.
And follow up, Chair. The Honorable Information. I would love to know from the acting DG how much the work which were done by the consultant here. Yeah. Because he has just mentioned that he has just received the figures. I'd love to know he consulted
Um, The question is, how much of this work you are reporting to us was done by consultants? That's the question. Honorable Rima?
Can I suggest in this regard that we get a complete breakdown of those access to basic services figures? I'd be very interested to know exactly what they mean, where they came from.
It's agreed. Absolutely agreed.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. I think I wanted to first align myself with what you said earlier, that when we deal with issues of statistics, we should also be looking at the sectors that are responsible for those statistics. But that does not necessarily mean that we cannot have information that really indicates that in this particular province this is what is happening. An example that I would want to give, when I came back to the department, I was working in the district. That district had 775 villages. Only 24 were having water 24 hours. And in some instances, we looked at the bulk infrastructure that the department of one sector was putting in place, and then we replicated certain villages. At the end of that project, we realized that that project, which was worth 400 million, was not going to be commissioned because of certain engineering problems that had been experienced, which therefore meant that we had put infrastructure down in terms of reticulation, but that community was not going to receive water. And then you then look at other options of underground water, and you find that in other instances, when you go to that, you also need to think about the contamination of underground water. So those are some of the challenges that we really need to talk about. But with regard to consultants, with regard to the work that is being reported here, there is no work that is being reported here that is involving consultants, save for the SANACO that he has talked about, which is an agreement of the implementing agent that is implementing community work program. But I want to agree with the chair that we really put community work program in the agenda of the portfolio committee so that we focus on that report generally. There were two other small issues that were not covered by the answers of the colleagues. One was the issue of the 6+2 metros in terms of accreditation of level 1, level 2, level 3. It might be that we might have had a typing error. We added one. It should be 5+2. But with regard to the explanation, Chair, I take your instruction that perhaps in future will indicate that level 1 means that you have been accredited to deal with the planning part. Level 2 is planning and also implementation. Level 3 means you get the full function, including the financing of that particular function.
In-house, yeah.
Yes. And lastly, there was an issue around the expenditure of less than 25% in the first quarter of CAPEX. That we have identified as the department, which as an issue of planning. To roll out an infrastructure project, the minimum is 18 months. Now, if we say the ITP of a municipality has to be implemented from the 1st of July, and you find that in the projects that are there, you still have to do the broader planning of that project in terms of feasibility or environmental impact assessment, it takes 3 months. And then you do the design of that project another 3 months. And then when you go to the actual tender processes to really start putting it through, it's another 3 months, which therefore means that in the 6 months, you can only spend 10% of the CAPEX. So our proposal, we have done this in the MINMEC last year on the 7th of December. We propose that perhaps what we should have is a situation where when we adopt, municipalities adopt the IDP, they adopt the IDP for 5 years, and if that IDP is credible, then you plan the first year, you are dealing with all the planning and the design, so you have the design of all those particular projects. And starting from the second financial year, you are just dealing with the implementation, because you will just be procuring contractors. So that is the reason why in the first quarter, July to September, in municipalities with regards to CAPEX, it will be very difficult for municipalities to really spend the 25% that is anticipated.
In terms of the information which we have, which we got from provincial departments responsible. for either the offices or the auditor general in the various provinces. There are 47 municipalities which the information pertaining to them are still outstanding, and mainly you'll find that some of those municipalities have submitted their annual financial statements and the relevant information after the cut-off date. And that is the reason we have put that in red, saying that that will regard them as a serious challenge, because you can talk about, as I will do quickly, as to where we are now, but you can talk about municipalities that have got an advance, or these have got a disclaimer. But in an instance where for some of the municipalities the information has was not yet provided by today, it might be that the challenges which relate to those municipalities, it might even be much more worse, or it might be more of a concern. So I just wanted to say that out front, at the outset, so that we contextualize that information when we start talking about statistics. Now, quickly, in terms of the national picture, and we are doing this by comparing 2008-09 as well as 2009-10 to see where we are. In terms of disclaimers, whereas in 2008-09 we had 81 municipalities, now it has gone to 50 municipalities. In terms of adverse opinions, it moved from 8 to 7, and these two categories are the worst categories which you can talk about, because one of them is that the information which has been provided is not sufficient for one to make a sound judgment, whereas in the case of the other, although you can use it, but you got some serious reservations. So what ideally you should have is category number 3, which deals with your qualified opinion, your unqualified opinion, and the third one, which is your unqualified with no other matters, which is what your clean audit is all about. Now, if you look at those statistics, these two, because by the end of the 2010-11 financial year, we wanted to wipe out that category of disclaimers and adverse opinions to go out. Now, it says that we got 57 municipalities which by the end of June need to be checked to move out of that category. But also we need to take into account that I also stated that there is 47 municipalities whose information was still outstanding. So if you combine that 57 plus 47, it takes you to about 104 municipalities, which is about 57%. But one cannot say anything about what the actual state of those 47 municipalities will be. But in sum up, whereas in 2008-09, in terms of those adverse opinions and disclaimers, you had a total of 125 municipalities, which represented 85%. In 2009-10, it moved up to it went down to 104, which moves to something like 87%. I won't dwell on the other information, which is again in terms of comparing as to where we come from. In the 2008-09, we had 86 municipalities who could not be finalized in time, so the information there was outstanding. And I said that in 2009-10, that figure jumped up from 86 to 47. And if you look at the national picture, you find that whereas we got 159 municipalities whose status remained the same, so there was no up or down movement, there were 15 municipalities which regressed, which went slightly backwards. But that gets overshadowed by the fact that you have 62 municipalities which have shown slight improvement. But again, this also needs to be qualified, because that includes your disclaimers. If a municipality moves from the category which is disclaimer to others, which we still regard as of a serious concern, it includes that information as well. So that is what it is. Well, the next slide, I will just quickly rush through them, but mainly to deal with the questions which were raised, because those were covered in the earlier presentation. In terms of the establishment of the Municipal Public Accounts Committees, which is one aspect which, following the local government elections, will have to work closely with provinces as well as municipalities to get this established. Now, part of the reasons as to in certain areas these were not improved, although the information is scientific, but what we get is a number of issues. Part of it is that there has been concern in terms of certain municipalities that the guiding framework for the establishment of this municipal public accounts committee, they wanted something which is ministerial endorsed, so that the guiding framework, it should be signed by the minister. So as a department, we have had that, and we are working to ensure that we have to issue a guiding framework for the establishment of the municipal public accounts committee, which will be signed by the minister. And we regard this as a matter which we need to deal with quickly, and we hope by April we shall have done it, so that if indeed that was the concern, it should no longer be a concern. So we want to dispense with that particular matter so that it doesn't arise again. But so those are some of the things which are coming, but also we talked about these provincial workshops which were hosted at the provincial level. Some were hosted as late as November as well, and at a later stage, some of those provinces and municipalities in those provinces, when they looked at the issues that we got pending local government elections, some of them started questioning as to whether there was any useful purpose for them to go ahead, because you will establish the things within a number of months, which is not a year. Some of them, they will have to become defunct again and start from scratch, because following the local government elections, we'll have to re-establish them again. So those were some of the things which have been coming to the fore. But like as I said, as a solution going forward, we have already decided that we'll issue a guiding framework which will be signed by the minister. But I also need to state that that won't be by way of regulations, for a number of reasons which we think at the stage we need to put by way of regulations, because there are some other issues which also relate to the Municipal Structures Act, which may need to be reviewed and revisited if we have to have regulations. But what we want to do is to get the guiding framework out there, and if there would be a need after a year or two, then we can come with regulations so that we move somewhere. Now, in terms of the questions which were asked on the internal audits, units and audit committees, and I also need to state that they may appear, if you look at the other slide in terms of the other presentation, and this as if there is a discrepancy. There is no discrepancy. It's only that the other one talked about, if you talk about internal audit units, those which are established in respect of individual municipalities, whereas you've got municipalities which are in a shared services model, and the same relates to audit committees. So the two slides talk to each other in terms of the information. Now, the question as to why the functionalities of this, the audit units, the internal audit unit and audit committees, were not yet done at the stage. One of it was that the focus was primarily to get the things established. However, we also, which is one thing we should be grappling with in the forthcoming financial year, whether the issue about the criteria, if you say the things are functioning, what is it which you mean? Because anybody can say the things are functioning. For example, I was attending the Gauteng Provincial Coordinating Committee on Operation Team Audit, and there were about three municipalities which were presenting, they were saying functional. But the question is, do we have something which is objective? And one of the reasons which we may have to look at it, and again, when we scrutinize the report of the Auditor General, is what we'll be looking as to what extent is the Auditor General also, when he audits municipalities, looking as to whether some of the things are functional or not. But even if we are not there yet, one of the things which we'll have to think is to start looking at what are the things which will constitute, because we'll have to start coming with the criteria, then assess on the basis of criteria. So that is what we want to deal with in the forthcoming financial year. Now, the last one is provinces monitor and support municipal action plans to address previous audit outcomes. It was also in that particular presentation, but what this is, it's the fact that the Auditor General raises concerns or issues regarding municipalities, then the municipalities themselves, they come as to how they would address that, and the provinces also get into the picture within that particular province as to how the things are dealt with. Then at the national level, together with Treasury, we also look as to what extent, what is the progress which is being made in terms of the things. I won't deal with the issues of stakeholders. Today, these are some of our stakeholders, and it's interesting that is the offices of the premiers in the provinces as well. Then, going to the provincial audit outcomes for 2009-2010, which has been released, has officially been released by the Auditor General. Now, this, in a quick, is how the situation is. In terms of disclaimers, there was, we had a little bit of a regression there, whereas in 2008-09 you had 4, now it increased to 10. But in terms of adverse opinions, the two which were there in the previous financial year got eliminated. Now the other figures speak for themselves, but also this information also needs to be qualified as well. In particular, when you look at the issue of disclaimers and adverse opinions, because as it was the case with local government, for the 2009-10, there was information relating to 9 departments which was outstanding. And that information, like I said, that it might even point to some other problems. So these figures we are talking about, these as to what that information regarding those 9 departments within those provinces will be. It might either make the things look slightly bad or it may improve to some extent. But and that is also a concern, because whereas in 2008 or 9 there was only 3 departments, provincial departments, where information was outstanding. It increased from 3 to 9, so it increased by 6. But if you were to look at provinces and local government, the picture in respect of provinces is slightly better. What we have not done for local government is what we are trying to do with the quick slides here on provinces. Because when it comes to provinces, because that report, the consolidated general report is out, it becomes easier as to what were the issues of concerns, which is what we'll share with you quickly. But for local government, we can't do that at this stage until we get that general report to find in the main what are the critical issues of concerns regarding the health or the financial health of municipalities. In brief, the audit outcomes of provincial departments for the current year generally showed a steady reduction in audit qualifications, but also we need to take into account the fact that I made reference to the 9 departments whose information is outstanding. The positive trend is, however, distorted by the continued deterioration in the education, health, and the public sectors in 5 provinces. So if you were to look at sectors, those are the main areas of concern, with your education, your health, and your public works. Now, overall, the provincial outcomes of departments showed 61% unqualified opinions with internal control shortcomings, and an improvement in clean audits to 11%. With regard to audit qualifications, there were 20% of departments received qualified opinions. Capital assets remain the major reasons for qualifications, constituting 79%. So that is the bulk of where the concern comes from in terms of the provincial departments, followed by the issue of disclosure notes, which is about 59%. And the third relates to unauthorized, irregular, as well as fruitful and wasteful expenditure.
You must separate your wishes with the reality you are reporting on.
Well, the colleague says it will come to my list. It's more on the provincial aspect. It's not Bulelo Sigaba, I'm more on the local government. Well, in terms of the conclusions, what we are saying is that the targets for Operation Clean Audits are ambitious, taking into account where we come from as a country. And they are ambitious in the sense that it is a desire that despite where we are, we need to go somewhere in order to get solutions to this problem. And we are also saying that, as I said, that regarding the Municipal Public Accounts Committees, we'll have to work with the various stakeholders, including SALGA as well as the Association of Public Accounts Committees, to ensure that after the local government elections, this gets resuscitated where they went before, or established where they were not established before. So in brief, that is what I can say. Well, I don't know if there is anything critical.
Okay, thank you very much. Any comments? No questions, comments. Yes, ma'am.
Chairperson, about Honorable Mandela.
Yeah.
He left something to be asked to present the interview. Am I allowed to read it out?
To represent your chief?
To represent my uncle.
That's very interesting. Go ahead, ma'am.
Last year we went on an oversight and I chaired the group in the Eastern Cape, particularly Buffalo City.
Yeah.
In our findings, Buffalo City municipality had an unqualified audit. We found an amount of 104 million, which was not clear what it was used on. In our report, we have requested that we inquire on this issue. In Kumha, Great Cape Municipality, junior officials had squandered municipal funds and they were being investigated. What is the status of these two cases?
I presented the report of the Ad Hoc Committee on Service Delivery to Minmec. The department and the MECs for COCTA as the report, as both the summarized report and the comprehensive report, promise. And one of the reasons we did that is that we were doing so with the expectation that you were going also to get a letter from the leader of government business, from the speaker, about the same report. So that you must come back to us and tell us what you've done about those recommendations and those issues stated in that report. On the third week, we would like a specific response to that. So that question must form part of that. So we would like to, in a comprehensive manner, deal with the recommendations of that report. We have said before that when we interact with you, this has always been a tradition, that we always start with where we ended, and not start as if we're starting afresh. So I think there are issues that we have dealt with so far in other reports that you have given to us. But we haven't systematically looked at that report and its recommendations. So it would be useful to get to hear your responses to the recommendations of that report, including what Honorable Mandela in the mouth of his representative is asking to you. So we won't ask you to respond to it. We will pass. And thank you very much for your report on an update on both operation local government turnaround strategy and clean audits. We have heard your the various issues that you have raised here. We will come back to you with sharper and sharp questions about those issues, and then we'll talk about it. Yes, we are going to then, just for your information, the Office of the Chief State Law Affairs I guess in anticipation of our discussion this morning of the Municipal System Fee, prepared a presentation which they decided it's not necessary after our conclusion, but I said nevertheless that I will table this presentation to you so that you look at their views on the clause that we were discussing. on the collective bargaining in local government scheme. That clause. There is a document here that I will ask you to make copies for you to have so that you look at what their opinion is on that stuff. But this was before they heard our finalization of the conclusions here. It just adds to the two issues that we will consider. Just look at it. Remember that we are voting on this legislation next week, Tuesday. We hope the bill will be ready, the P bill. You want to say something? Acting DG? Have you said your maiden speech as acting DG? You want to make some closing remarks?
Honorable members, I don't necessarily have any major speech. I'm a mathematician who has got very little to say. I just want to thank members for the questions that they have raised, but also to indicate to the chair that we are aware of the presentation that we made to the MINMEC of the 7th of December. And some of the recommendations from that MINMEC are being acted upon. And we hope that we'll continue to have this particular engagement, but also to thank members for the few questions that they were asking. I think some of them were very difficult to answer. But I think it is also going to be sharpening the way in which we report to the committee so that we really report on the tangible rather than to report on things that are intellectual in nature. And thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. You see, I don't know mathematicians to be ever running short of words. Those that I know will talk and talk and talk. I also want to say to Mr. Du Plessis, no, it's not that your responses were intellectual. They were short of evidence. We want evidence-based reports, not propaganda and statements. So Honorable Du Plessis, I hear what you're saying, that you are using a framework of the program of action for implementation of outcome 9. What I am saying is that the committee, when you say, okay, you gave us an indicator, by the end of the year we will have formed the Municipal Public Accounts Committee, and you tell us 5 provinces haven't done so. That's what you report. Now, we can't be satisfied with that. We must ask why. Logically, why? In other words, it is legitimate for us to expect you to explain to us why this province. As part of your report, you must not wait for us to ask you this question. You must anticipate that these members are going to ask it. If it's not now, at some stage, they will ask this question. So please, provide us with evidence of the statements you are making to this committee. We will feel respected. You've done a good job with the report that you have given us, broadly speaking. It's very useful, and it helps us to get a sense of where things are at with implementation of the turnaround strategy, especially given the transition we are entering into now of local government. The difficulty of implementation is obvious, so this is why we would like to get a sense that you are gathering your forces, preparing for as smooth a transition as is possible. These are politics. It can't be completely smooth, but for as much as we can ensure the smooth transition, we must see that we have prepared sufficiently and worked in advance with the risks that are there in the process of a changeover of terms of office at this level. Thank you very much. It's the work you've done is very helpful to the work we're doing at the committee, and we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Hello. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. I have no idea.